Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of Sunday, September 9th. We'll start with local news. Jet dismantler charged with theft and money laundering. A contractor who had the job of dismantling vintage aircraft on the former Chanute Air Force Base has been charged with money laundering and theft after he allegedly sold two ejection seats out of a jet he was taking apart. Ken Morrison, 68, of Whiting, Indiana, made his first court appearance on the Class II felony charges Tuesday in Champaign County Circuit Court. Judge John Kennedy allowed Morrison, who had been given a notice to appear, to remain free and told him to be back September 13th with his own attorney. Assistant State's Attorney Dan Clifton said the charges allege that on August 3rd, Morrison unlawfully sold two ejection seats from a fighter plane that he had been hired to dismantle. Although Morrison allegedly sold the seats, later recovered by Rantoul police, for $125, Clifton said the Air Force maintained that they were both worth about $40,000 and that they were still government property because they had not yet been scrapped. Last year, Morrison, doing business as a T&K Metals, bid for and won the right to dismantle the planes. His contract with the government says that he cannot resell the parts. The salvage company operator has had hiccups from the start in the plane scrapping process, including a fire that destroyed a C-47 in April and fires in two other aircraft. The fires prompted the village to order him to stop work, but Morrison told the Rantoul Press last month that he was allowed to resume after promising to keep an employee with a hose nearby. Morrison also told Rantoul Press reporter Dave Hinton that he did not think he was violating his contract by selling the seats, because the buyer didn't intend to put them back in an F-105. When the sale of the seats came to light, authorities forced Morrison to cease the dismantling of the aircraft, which he estimated would have been done by about the end of October. They also seized a Caterpillar skid steer that he owns. Clifton said Morrison has a prior conviction out of Pennsylvania for releasing oil into a river while cutting up an oil storage tank, and is currently under federal indictment in Indiana for cutting up a railroad bridge in Hammond and selling it for scrap metal. He also has a 1997 conviction from LaSalle County for deceptive practices, Clifton said. Update. Name of victim released in fatal U.S. 45 wreck. A Rantoul woman was killed and three children of the woman injured when a truck struck a vehicle stopped on U.S. 45 just south of Leverett Road early Thursday morning. Illinois State Police said the deceased, Shayna Outlaw, who was 23 years old, was outside of her vehicle, which apparently had a mechanical issue, in the right driving lane. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said Miss Outlaw died from traumatic injuries. Her 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix was struck from behind by a 2008 Dodge Ram truck at 5:52 a.m. State Police said the collision caused her car to be thrown off the roadway to the right and overturn in the right ditch. The pickup truck rolled over in the roadway and came to a rest on its top in the left lane. State police said it is unclear if the pedestrian was struck by the truck after it collided with her car, or if her car struck the pedestrian after it was struck by the truck. The pedestrian was found in the right ditch near her car after the collision. She was pronounced deceased at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana, by Northrup. Three children, ages 6 years, 4 years, and 8 months, from Rantoul sustained injuries that were not life-threatening. They were transported to an area hospital. The driver of the pickup truck was ticketed for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. The crash caused the southbound lanes of U.S. 45 to be closed until about 11 a.m., while Illinois state troopers investigated. Shortly after 11 a.m., several Urbana and county police officers responded to Carle's emergency room, where there was a report of a disturbance. Urbana Sergeant Andy Eukin said several members of the woman's family and her friends were having an emotional reaction to the news of her death. Police quickly defused the situation and no one was hurt or arrested. Leverett Road at U.S. 45 is south of Thomasboro, north of Urbana. Garage and car destroyed, house damaged in fire. An early morning fire destroyed a garage and a car and caused damage to a Rantoul couple's home in the 700 block of Juniper Drive of Rantoul Wednesday. Fire Chief Ken Waters said the fire caused an estimated $60,000 damage to the home of Bill and Martha Brown, who escaped with their pet dog. Firefighters were called at 1:38 a.m. Bill Brown had been working on a lawnmower when it caught fire, destroying a 2016 Ford Escape and the garage. The house, owned by the Stemler Family Trust, sustained smoke damage throughout. The Browns were unable to stay at the home and spent the night at a hotel, Waters said. The fire was ruled accidental. Firefighters cleared the scene at 3:15 a.m. Assisting the Rantoul Department were firefighters from Gifford and Thomasboro. No injuries were reported. Fire causes heavy damage to Penfield home. A Penfield home and its contents sustained an estimated $100,000 damage when it caught fire late Tuesday morning. The home of Teresa Bice, 401 Elm Street, sustained heavy damage. Gifford Assistant Fire Chief Brody Crozier said the fire caused extensive damage to the basement and smoke and heat damage to the rest of the house. Bice was not home when the fire was discovered. Crozier said the fire started in the basement. There was smoke coming from the roof area when we pulled up, Crozier said. It took us a little while to find it in the basement. Champaign County Mutual Aid Box Alarm System investigators were unable to pinpoint the cause of the fire. Firefighters from four departments responded to the 11:58 a.m. call. In addition to Gifford, which has Penfield in its district, departments from Rantoul, Ogden Royal, and Bluegrass, Potomac, responded. Crozier said about 36 firefighters were on the scene for about 3 hours. No injuries were reported and no neighboring property was threatened. Hangar sales delayed by FAA. The Village of Rantoul has done its part, so has the Air Force. The process of selling four properties on the former Chanute Air Force Base is being held up by the Federal Aviation Administration. Los Angeles businessman John Vanderveld plans to buy from the Village Hangars 1, 2, and 3, and the building that houses the AT&T call center on the former base, for $5.15 million. Last month, the Village received from the Air Force the final deeds for the properties, but the process is being slowed by the FAA. The release from the FAA has not gone as smoothly as hoped, Public Works Director Greg Hazel told the Village Board last week. There's a 51-day posting on the National Register before it is actually released. He said the agency has had some retirements and reassignments that have slowed the process. It's been difficult at times to herd those cats, but I think we've got them headed in the right direction, Hazel said. Vanderveld was concerned the contract would be null and void if the two sides didn't make their sale deadline of this month, Hazel said. But both sides still want the sale to go through. The board was asked to approve an extension on the contingency period for release until February 28th, which it was scheduled to vote on at this week's monthly meeting. Hazel, however, said he didn't think it would take nearly that long to finalize the deal. Trustee appointed. In other business, the board voted to affirm the appointment of Sherry Johnson to the board seat formerly held by Rich Medlin, who resigned. Pay scale. The board agreed the salaries for trustees, the mayor, and village clerk should remain the same, but agreed to a recommendation from village clerk Mike Graham to raise the pay of a master municipal clerk to $1,200 a year, effective May 1st. This will affect the pay of Janet Gray, who serves as deputy clerk for the village. Trustees make $4,800 a year, which was approved May 1st, 2007. The mayor is paid $25,000 a year, which includes $21,000 as mayor and $4,000 as liquor commissioner, which took effect May 1, 1997. The village clerk's annual salary is $7,500, which was enacted in 2009. Book: Smiling on the Outside, Hurting on the Inside. Sometimes outward appearances can be most deceiving. This quote is one of the underlining themes of author Tabitha Eichelberger's new book, Diary of a Lonely Prom Queen: Reflections on Parenting Teenage Girls from a Teenage Survivor. Eichelberger, a Paxton native and a current resident, began work on her book more than 6 years ago. "This book has been a passion of mine for the past 6 years," said Eichelberger, who will hold a book signing event from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, September 15th, at Hudson Drug and Hallmark Shop, 108 North Market Street, Paxton. "I wanted to share my junior high school experiences and struggles with others in the hopes of helping parents better understand some of the struggles and trials their teen may be going through," she said about the book. I also hope by sharing my story, it can give parents some direction on ways to support and encourage their child. Along with her personal story, Eichelberger's mother, Wendy, has contributed significantly to the book, offering up her advice to parents and explaining some of the ways she was able to help her daughter cope with many of the issues she faced. The book also shares advice and input from several generations of women Eichelberger interviewed in order to gain an even better understanding and perspective of the struggles teenage girls face and ways the parents have helped their children, both past and present. Teens were also interviewed and asked questions about in what ways they felt parents could support their child most effectively. I wanted to get all kinds of perspectives and insight from as many women as I could, Eichelberger said. Everyone has a story to tell, so I interviewed what I consider some super awesome mamas who have either raised daughters in the past or are currently raising daughters now. I wanted to see what has worked for them, what hasn't, and what they felt was important to share with readers. I was also privileged enough to speak with some pretty awesome kids who were incredibly open and honest with me about the struggles they face on a day-to-day basis and how they felt their parents could best encourage and support them. It was very eye-opening and a great learning experience for me as I listened to what these incredible women had to share. Eichelberger said she had what seemed to most as the perfect high school experience. She was a cheerleader, prom queen, and homecoming queen, and she was involved with the school's chorus, mentoring program, and more. However, on the inside, she said it was a different story. I would cry almost daily, she said. I never felt accepted by girls. I consistently felt like an outsider and that no matter what I did, I could never fit in. It was an awful feeling. But looking back now, I realize that many of the girls I thought had it all were struggling with the same feelings I was. It just goes to show you that sometimes outward appearances really are most deceiving. No one has the perfect life. We all have our issues. Thankfully for Eichelberger, she had a great support system at home. I had and still do have an amazing family who has consistently been there to support me through all my ups and downs, as well as a small group of mentors and friends who prayed faithfully for me each day, she said. This is what really got me through. As the book comes out later this week, Eichelberger said she hopes to be able to use her story to help others and hopefully give support to those in need. During the September 15th book signing event, to be held during the 7th annual Paxton Swine and Dine BBQ contest and festival in downtown Paxton, readers can purchase a copy of the book. Readers can also purchase the book starting September 15th at Hudson Drug and Hallmark Shop, Leading Edge Salon in Paxton, and The Gathering in Gilman. It is also available in paperback and in a Kindle edition on Amazon.com. Village has spent nearly $8 million on stormwater projects since early 2000s. From Rantoul. The Village has spent nearly $8 million since 2001 to alleviate stormwater drainage problems in the community, Village Comptroller Pat Chamberlain said. The costs have been largely paid through bonds funded through the issuance of a stormwater drainage utility fee. Some property owners, the number was not available, have never paid the stormwater fee since it was started in 2000, Chamberlain told the Village Board at last week's board study session. The Village's ability to collect was made more difficult when Champaign County's presiding judge, Thomas DeFanis, in January set aside more than 2,500 outstanding warrants for people who have unresolved city or village ordinances in the county. The move was designed to lighten the load of the staff at the Champaign County Jail. However, it left the Village of Rantoul with little leverage to force scofflaws such as people who won't pay their stormwater fee bills to pay. The Village's options are limited to collect. The Village does file liens against the properties of people who refuse to pay. If the owner does not sell the property, the Village cannot collect. Village Administrator Rick Snyder said the Village has signed on to the State of Illinois Comptroller's Local Debt Recovery Program. It's been a slow process of getting that thing moving, Snyder said. Village Trustee Chad Smith also recommended the Village Drainage Committee look at the problem. The committee did meet Monday. Chamberlain reported 3,784 storm bills were mailed out June 23rd, with the first installment due August 7th. The amount billed was $772,100. The current balance outstanding as of August 28th was $412,700. There are currently 1,038 outstanding bills that have not been paid yet, 27% of the bills sent out, Chamberlain wrote in her report to the board. Of that amount, approximately 508 owe the amount that was billed this year. The village has filed 156 liens with the county this year for outstanding storm drainage fees. Stormwater flooding has been an issue throughout the village over the years. The most prominent local case of late has been on Illinois Drive, where resident Debbie Slay said floodwaters have threatened the home she shares with her husband Dale. She said the problem became worse following a construction project at neighboring Northview School. She said despite three sump pumps operating in their backyard, water comes up to their back door and black mold is present in their house. Stormwater projects. Chamberlain provided an overview of the stormwater projects the village has undertaken since 2001. The Maplewood Drive and Clark Street Improvement Project completed it in 2001 at a cost of $276,551. The project alleviated flooding at the intersection of those two streets, with the installation of a new 42-inch and 48-inch storm sewer system along the Fisher Farm Railroad tracks. The Maplewood Detention Pond, 2003, at a cost of $629,171. The project was the first major stormwater improvement funded by the storm drainage fee. The village bought property where the pond is located and constructed the pond, which was jointly constructed by the village and the Air Force. Sangamon Avenue to Wabash Avenue Storm Sewer, 2007, at a cost of $1.921 million. Beginning at the intersection of Sangamon Avenue and Tanner Street, the project entered the west end of the detention pond at West Avenue. It included new pipes ranging in size from 24 to 48 inches. It has alleviated flooding along Wabash Avenue, Lincoln Street, Sangamon Avenue, and Girard Street. Prairie View and Shady Lawn Upgrade, 2004, at a cost of $346,812. The project diverted stormwater from the Prairie View subdivision to the Maplewood Detention Pond. Eater Drive Upgrade, 2004, at a cost of $274,859. The project diverted water from the Eater Drive and Harper Drive intersection to the Maplewood Detention Pond. Lawn Drive and Gates Drive, 2006, at a cost of $146,530. The project consisted of about 700 feet of new 30-inch storm sewer along Lawn Drive beginning at the new Gates and Lawn intersection, extending north to US 136 and an extension of a 48-inch storm sewer at Carolina Drive. Gleason Drive Area, 2012, at a cost of $1.157 million. The project reduced roadway flooding by improving the driving service and providing curb and gutter, structures, storm sewer collection pipe, as well as underground storage in the Gates Drive, Gleason Drive, Carolina Drive, Eater Drive, and Harper Drive areas. Northwest Outfall, 2016, at a cost of $1.613 million. The project included construction of a new storm sewer from just south of the Canadian National Railroad to the Northwest Pump Station. The work provided improper stormwater flow from the northwest portion of the community by replacing a 24-inch storm sewer and disconnecting from an existing parallel field tile. Broadmeadow Subdivision, 2016, at a cost of $1.179 million. The project provides for stormwater improvement and street rehabilitation of Broadmeadow Road from Milesbury to James Road, Broadmeadow Road to Quinlan Place Pond, and then along James Road. The project provided for construction of about 3,300 linear feet of new storm sewer ranging in size from 12 inches to 36 inches in diameter, along with additional drainage structures. Rudzinski Pond, 2016, at a cost of $235,023. The project removed about 4,000 cubic yards of accumulated sediment from the pond, repairing existing culverts and outfall structures and regarding the banks of the pond. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week of September 9th. Mitsuko Bent, Lucy, 89, of Paxton, died at 2:04 p.m. Saturday, September 8th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton. Visitation was held 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. Friday, September 14th at Bayer Family Funeral Services, Paxton. Burial will be in Roselawn Cemetery, Champaign. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at BayerFuneralServices.com. William F. Bent, 99, of Paxton, died at 9:15 a.m. Sunday, September 9th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton. Funeral services were held at 12:30 p.m. Friday, September 14th at Bayer Family Funeral Services. Burial followed in Roselawn Cemetery, Champaign. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at BayerFuneralServices.com. Sandra J. Sandy Gowen, 57, of Gibson City, mother of a Fisher resident and stepmother of a Rantoul resident, died at 8:48 p.m. Wednesday, September 5th at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 15th at First Christian Church, Gibson City. Interment will be at a later date. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Rosenbaum Funeral Home, Gibson City, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be directed to the family. Online condolences and memories of Mrs. Gowen may be left for the family at rosenbaumfh.com. Robert J. Kelly, 82, of Minnetonka, Minnesota, formerly of Rantoul, died Wednesday, September 5th, surrounded by his family and beloved dog Finnegan. A massive Christian burial was held Monday, September 10th at Church of St. Therese, Deep Haven, Minnesota. Interment followed in Resurrection Cemetery, Shorewood, Minnesota. Gertie Delmore Funeral Chapel, Plymouth, Minnesota, is in charge of arrangements. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials are preferred to the PKD Foundation or St. Jude Children's Hospital. Billy R. Little, 95, formerly of the Rantoul-Thomasboro area, died Sunday, September 2nd in Kalamazoo, Michigan. A small family service to celebrate her life will be held at a later date. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, the family asks that memorial contributions be made in her name to the Heritage Community of Kalamazoo Foundation, 2400 Portage Street, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 59001. Marianne Swenson, 72, of Thomasboro, died Monday, September 3rd at home. Memorial services will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Friday, September 14th at TIA Hall, Thomasboro. Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove Avenue, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week of September 9th. Now we'll return to local news. Bullied as a youngster, former Miss America endeavors to help educate. Erica Harold sat in her ninth grade class, the target of the uncool game. Classmates wrote down everything she did, if she coughed, if she scratched her forehead, if she took notes, every gesture, every mannerism. Then the teacher allowed a classmate to come before the class and recite everything Harold did. Students were allowed to sing vulgar songs about her. She was the victim of severe racial and sexual harassment. At the time, I just thought if I could sit as still as possible, then they won't have anything to write about, Harold told those attending a luncheon Friday at the Linden Banquet Center, sponsored by the Rantoul Area Chamber of Commerce. At a time when you should be trying to figure out what your talents are and trying to express yourself, you shouldn't be sitting there trying to be invisible. The harassment escalated to a death threat. Her home was vandalized. When Harold would talk with teachers and administrators about what she was experiencing, they didn't take it seriously. I was told you need to separate the wheat from the chaff and told if I would be submissive like other women that it wouldn't happen to me, Harold said. The bullying lasted for a year and a half, and Harold doesn't know why it happened. She transferred to another high school to get away from it. The year before, she had been elected class president. Ahead of her lay being crowned Miss America in 2003, graduating from Harvard Law School, and becoming a candidate for Illinois Attorney General. In between, however, was a life-altering, painful experience that has shaped much of Harold's message. Harold had a strong support system from her mother and father that helped her through the year, helped her to build her confidence and self-esteem. She used that experience on a quest to help others who are being bullied and to help many to realize that maybe not knowing it, they are exhibiting bullying behavior. Harold speaks to young people whenever she can. She spent most of Friday in Rantoul. In addition to appearing at the luncheon, she spoke and met with junior high and high school students. She is always encouraged by those visits. "So often people talk about young people in negative ways," Harold said. "I want to highlight that there are so many good young people. You should be proud of how they represented your community." She said the students' behavior was terrific. "They were very enthusiastic and asked great questions," she said, after the Eater Assembly. Harold gave students a chance to participate, and they were on point with their questions and comments. She brought along a tiara and gave the students a chance to be crowned Mr. or Miss America. Two Eater students came forward. Harold asked each what they wanted to be when they grew up. The boy wanted to join the military, and the girl wanted to be a lawyer. It took time for Harold to get over the bullying. The experience is what prompted her to become an attorney. It was a prime opportunity to impact the community by speaking about youth violence and bullying. Harold also tells victims of bullying about the importance of talking to an adult. But many are reluctant because they believe it is tattling. "There is a difference between tattling and telling an adult for a good reason," she said. "If you see people being bullied and people being victimized, it's not okay to be a bystander. Try to find ways to reach out to people. Treat people with kindness." She also believes society has moved past the idea that it's weak to talk about an experience like bullying or being threatened. "I think fortunately we framed it that it's strong to stand up for yourself and other people," Harold said. "And you don't have to be ashamed, and people have no right to put you down." She encouraged adults to get involved in mentoring programs. For instance, in Rantoul schools, 463 children have been identified as being in need of a mentor. However, only 21 mentors have volunteered to be mentors through the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of September 9th. I hope to read with you again soon.